Up what's football running clocks host Jacob everything football flag.
That was
and I'm it. Wow.
That was the worst introduction ever.
It was kind of, look, I'm just kind of just trying something new. I'm trying to be a little abstract. What's up, everybody? I'm your host, Jacob with Clocks Running Podcast for
and I'm in. Life.
Oh my, and so you just cut. Wow, dude, this is a start. Jeez.
All right, third time's the charm. Third time's the charm. Go for it.
No. No. What's up, now everybody? You're feeling- Welcome to Clocks Running Podcast for everything flag football officials. I'm Jacob.
And I'm Ant. Hey man, so this is crazy because right now we are live on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. Ultimately, we won't know until we hit the end button. But you know, we're trying some new things out. Our streaming service, shout out to StreamYard, they kind of upgraded some things, and so we're gonna give it a shot and see how it works. It looks like we might be able to see comments if you post comments. We'll just see how it goes tonight. But, you know, what better night to do it when we're going to recap everything that was East Coast Nationals this past weekend. So, where were we again, Jacob?
We were in – all right, so the closest big city is Ocean City, Maryland. It's technically in Salisbury, Maryland, where we were, population 60. But, hey, it was a great time. It was a really cool time. We gave out some pretty dope bling. I thought we had a pretty good time.
Did you win that in 8th co-ed or –
Actually, 8 contact pro. I was a starting QB / wide receiver / safety for my squad / kick returner. And nice. I got all purpose, so I held it down for my squad.
Okay, I love it. Well, before we bring on our first guest of the night, I just want to give a shout out to a new sponsor we have. Okay, so this guest tonight is sponsored by W Energy. All right, they got kind of like an anime feel to them. I just ordered a tub of their pre workout. It's tiger blood, you know, like the flavor that you get at like shaved ice kind of thing.
Okay.
What do they call that in North Carolina?
Kona ice.
Kona ice. Okay, cool. So I think that – do they call it
everywhere? But okay.
Oh, okay. Sorry, my apologies. Anyway, okay. with that sponsorship, we have a promo code that if you want to try any of their products, they got pre-workout, they got hydration stuff. They've got, you know, shakers, they've got t-shirts. You can get 10% off with the promo code through Clocks Running. So just hit us up with that. And without further ado, who we got on coming first up?
Bring in the Lumeister, Mr. LDL Lance himself, all the way from California.
What's up,
guys? Gotta have some jazz hands.
Oh man, Lance, it's been so long since you've been on the show, bro.
I know, the living room looks the exact same. Tell us what's been going on.
Obviously, not much, because my living room is exactly the same. Outside of the living room, not changing too much. Just doing my thing with respect to still playing, still officiating here locally. Had a great time at ECN. I'd never been out in that area, so it was kind of interesting just to kind of be out there. But it was fun. Had a good time. Weather was, for the most part, cooperative. I mean, it did rain our first night there. But outside of that, the weather was actually extremely cooperative, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, Lance, from your perspective, what is different about East Coast Nationals from other tournaments?
I don't know about different. I mean, it was just a lot of fun. Ran into a bunch of teams and players that I had seen since Tampa, so we got to catch up a little bit. Got to watch a lot of good ball, both on fives and fours, as well as air it out. So it was fun. I mean, I don't think it's a difference. It's more about, like, just catching up with a lot of people that I hadn't seen in a while. So, it was, you know, a lot of these guys don't come out west. So it was just fun to, you know, catch up, talk a little smack, and just watch some good football.
Yeah, speaking of the West Coast, do you think that the organization – what? No, I wasn't even – I have a serious question about the West Coast. Do you think that the organizations out there, whether it be the Bay Area, Southern California, PNW, Las Vegas, do you ever think that they could come together and kind of put together a West Coast Nationals like that?
So we could probably do it. I know Law with United Sports has tried to do that. We've gotten close to 70, 80 teams. I think that was the max. I want to say we tried doing that. It's just really hard. For instance, it's hard to plan because we, at least out here in the Bay Area, we don't have facilities like you guys have out in the East. I can't just pull up and have – how many fields do we have? 3, 6, 9, 12, 15?
What, this past weekend we had – it was, yeah. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 6, 9, 11. We only had 11.
I don't have any facilities that can do 9, let alone 11.
Yeah.
I could do 6, maybe 8, and that's pushing it. So it's more about – it's not so much the to me, from what I've seen, it's not so much organization or trying to get it together. It's more about location. And if we do find a location, it's out in the boonies. So, you know, like, to be honest with you, with ECN, like, only the major airport was either Baltimore or Norfolk, right? The small airport was like commuter airport, and those always charge more. So that's the challenge that we face out here.
Yeah, and I mean, ultimately, California is such a giant state that, I mean, if you're in Southern California, you're talking about an 8-hour plus trip, you know, without the traffic involved to try to get up north. You know, maybe PNW would be an either, you know, easier trek down to the Bay. But yeah, I think probably the space is in Vegas is where all the field space is. Yeah. And I mean, I think there's already enough tournaments in Vegas going on. Jacob, how do you, you know, you're one of the organizations involved in East Coast Nationals. How do you guys pull it off every year getting everyone together like this?
Well, I think it's from the top down. You know, shout out to Craig Mims and Mike Holmes. They were the ones who kind of founded this tournament. They're the organizers who said, you know what, let's branch out. Let's start working with our other organizations. And it really, I mean, I've always said this and I'll continue to say it. When it comes to having league directors, typically your typical league director is a type A person. And to get many type A people to work together, for a common goal does not always work. But working with this group, you know, everybody puts all their, you know, their personal aside, trying to do the best they can. And ultimately we all have the same, we're all like-minded individuals. The goal is to have a successful quality tournament. And I think that's what carries us through.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, I think it's amazing, because just my experiences, and just to be clear, Lance, Southern California, my experiences in Southern California, organizations had a really hard time getting together, agreeing on rules, being able to put aside the drama and the politics that come with flag football and pull off even like, I think one time there was a couple that came together for like a flag face-off, and literally every round they were using different rules every round. Because they couldn't even agree on the same rule book. Like,
for a day, you know, that's wild.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, that kind of situation where it's like, yeah, I understand that you guys have, like, these tweaks and you want to do things this way, but come together and just, you know, use the same rule book at the bare minimum, at least. But even with that, it was the same situation. They could only take so many teams. So basically the way they did it is they had, like, each organization created an all-star team to play in it. And so there was one from each organization, and that was kind of a flag face-off or whatever. So definitely not on the scale of this. But, yeah, it, same with me. It was a lot of fun. Lance, how many ECNs have you been to?
It's my third. I want to say third one, right? Yeah. It's my
third, third or fourth, yeah.
Yeah.
Any anything different? Yeah, anything different over the years that you've noticed? Changes, improvements?
It's the first one I didn't see any police.
Nice.
Little victories.
Like, yeah, we didn't have any cops rolling in twice in like in an hour.
Yeah.
Seriously, it was very calm. It made the day so much, and I know on from Jacob's perspective, less stressed.
Yeah, definitely.
Like we got through the games, we got through the day, we ended on time, and you know, no major issues in terms of like folks doing stupid things. So that was for the better.
Yep.
Yeah. I know a lot of people complain about having to pay like spectator fees and having their bags checked at the front and things like that. But maybe that is starting to kind of get rid of the random riffraff and the, you know, extracurricular stuff that causes so many issues. I don't know. What do you think, Jacob?
No, I think it's you're starting to see. I think some of the problems are starting to phase out. You still have some folks who are just going to be knuckleheads, and that's fine. I enjoy those folks. They give me something to do during the day. however, I think for the most part, people are starting to kind of figure out who's there to compete, who's there to play football, or who's there to argue. You know, and even the ones like that we know are there to just argue, we know how to manage them. You know, so that way we can continue on with the tournament. And as long as you, as organizers and as an official, as long as you're keeping through with the games and keeping things moving and keeping your foot on the gas, you know, you're going to have success. It's just a matter of just powering through some of the knuckleheads. And also, you know, we had a really damn good crew this weekend. We had a really damn good crew this past weekend. And that makes everything that much better. When you're not having to answer, you know, how many downs is it in, you know, two man air it out. You know, it makes the day go smoother when there's actual questions that come up, when there's actual things like that, you know, make all of us put our thinking caps on. Sure. That's great. But when it's the little things that like you're stopping a game and spending 15 minutes on arguing about, hey, you know, co-ed has four downs. No, they really have six. No, it's silly things like that slow tournaments down. So I gotta tip my hat to all the officials. Both of you guys did great. You know, I think, you know, we had a really great crew this past weekend.
Yeah. Speaking of kind of head thinkers or whatever, head scratchers, what did you just say?
I said, put your thinking cap on.
Oh, thinking cap.
Oh, Lance, this is your friend.
The thinking cap scenario.
He's Lance, on your side of the. He's on your side of the coast now, so yeah. I don't claim him.
Yeah.
Hey, I.
It's funny we don't claim it when it's convenient.
Hey, listen, man. There's good and bad about Ohio's situation. That's for sure.
All right, my thinking cap is on. What do I do?
Okay, no, I'm not even talking to you right now, Jacob. Lance, was there any thinking cap situations that came up this past weekend?
I think the only one, and this is because I, you know, situationally, it's always been a gray area, and we went back and forth last year, and then we kind of finalized it, but I hadn't done co-ed in a while, because, you know, girl intercepted it off in co-ed, and I said it was six, and it was nine. I mean, it was one of those things, both the team that caught the interception, which was Supreme, Brandon said, I'm pretty sure it's nine, but it's no big deal. In under his breath, he says, we're going to blow him out. So it's no big deal. But, you know, it was that was like literally the only thing, at least on my field of all 25 plus games that I had, that kind of was like, I hadn't done this in a while. So it's like one of those things that you forget. And what people don't realize is because we've got seven different formats that we could potentially be doing in a 2-day span. Yes, we forget. We are human. And, you know, when I explain, yeah, it's, you know, for air it out, it was co-ed air it out. And I told him, I go, it's four downs. Oh, it is? And like, yes, it's four downs. I'm telling you, I forget which player. And you get three timeouts. Oh, we do? Like, and you wonder why I have a headache.
Right.
But at the end of the day, to Jacob's point, that was literally, at least from my recollection, the only issue that I had. Everything else was pretty smooth. Everyone knew what they were doing. Everyone was playing and, you know, doing what they should be doing. So I had no qualms.
Was there, whether it was you officiating or games that you were able to watch, you know, when you weren't officiating, was there a specific championship that you, you know, that stuck out to you that you thought was a great game, great competition?
Co-ed championship was fun. That was Supreme and Mob something. I forgot what their team is. Face Mob. That was a good game. I thought that was probably the best game that I officiated all weekend. Face Mob went up. Supreme looked ragged in the first couple of drives. So Face Mob was up going into halftime, and then Supreme turned it on. So it was actually a really good game.
What was the difference maker? They were able to get the women more involved or clock management? What was it?
I think they just played football versus dicking around. You know, it was one of those things where like, all right, we got to go play football. When you're in that situation, you know, you're down, clock's not on your side. You just got to like figure it out as fast as you can. Flip the switch as a team and then just go.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. So Lance, what do you got coming up on the horizon, whether it's locally or travel stuff? What's next for us?
So travel wise, I'm actually going to be, so this week, nothing going on. Next week, I will be down in SoCal for USA football. They're doing their international cup, their junior international cup and select bowl. So it's a 3-day event, whole host of teams, a lot of international flavor. So should be fun. Team USA will be there. And, you know, always looking forward to catching up with those guys, as well as Mexico, Canada, Australia, someone from Europe, I forget, and Japan.
Germany, Israel.
Yeah, Germany. Yeah, and Israel. Thank you. Yeah, so kind of curious on those teams because I hadn't seen – Germany play, so I'm kind of curious, and as well as Australia.
Yeah, that's cool. And then as far as Bay Area stuff, what's happening over there? Any new leagues or any changes that Dula or Law have clicked up recently?
So it's kind of funny that there's a new league that starts tonight. It's a co-ed circuit league, where the teams have been created, but every week is a different QB. So it's a co-ed league. Draft. You just got drafted, so we're all on the same team. But every week is a different QB. I have no idea who my QB is. So part of me is like, okay, great. So you have two games to figure it out before playoffs. Right. So you got to figure it out how to play with that QB. That's the neat thing with this is that in a completely draft tournament ish style, you don't know who you have as a QB. I think I know who it is based on week one. But, you know, if we do this for week two, I have no idea. So be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So each week you guys play a tournament, or is it just like regularly scheduled games?
It's tournament style.
Okay.
So
how many teams are there?
Six.
Okay.
So it's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And then in 2 weeks, this is for you, Jacob, if you were here. Dula's got this over 30 versus under 30 tournament.
Nice.
Just on the cusp to make the
basically,
over 30.
It's basically he's got four teams that are under over 30. I think it's 14s. 14s over 30. 14s under 30. They play. All the unders are playing the overs, right? So then winner takes all type of thing.
Nice.
It's kind of interesting.
I like it.
Yeah.
So
no, I'm
just trying to be creative, which I get. I think that's really interesting. That's an interesting way. Oh, one more thing. I wanted to give a shout out to Nancy. So on Saturday we were at at ECN. So Bay Area Panthers is an indoor league. Indoor is a team for indoor arena football. Her league, Bay Area Women's League, got recognized by the Panthers. And she got to, I don't know if anyone's seen her on her story. She got to actually do, she was an honorary captain, and she got to do the coin flip.
Nice. We were roommates this weekend, and you didn't mention that.
I totally forgot.
Jeez, dude.
So she's got I think it's one of those things where every time we have the opportunity to promote the sport in and itself, especially, and then we can focus that on the women's side, highlight that as much as possible. So I thought that was very cool. And the funny thing is no one referred her. Like, their PR person did basically a Google search of women's flag football.
And her site
came up. Yep.
Cool.
So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, and what's her organization called?
Bay Area Women's League. Ball.
Okay.
But Bay Area Women's
League.
Get it? Because it's football, and it's acronym from ball.
Ball.
Do you get it?
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough. And it's been around for a few years now, right?
Baseball.
Yeah, it's been around. Yeah, we just had our Wednesday night league start up last night. So.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, it's awesome. Dula's always cooking up creative things. I know he did, what was it, like a 200, 250 plus or something tournament at one point.
That's coming back. Someone was asking about the 200-pound draft tournament. That's coming back later this summer. That's coming back. You should come out for that, Jacob.
Yeah. Wait a minute. We'll go out for it.
No, that's awesome. Definitely shout out to all the league owners out there, Dula and Law and Nancy and what's the other one? Loyal to the Game, right?
Danny.
Yeah. So I do appreciate everything the Bay Area does. I think they, like I said, they all come together. They have great tournaments. As the kids say, it's a vibe.
It is just a vibe. Think that.
But anyway, Lance, just anything else you want to talk about as far as ECN before we let you go?
ECN was fun. Again, the weather was great. It was great to catch up. Worked with some great people. Eric, Asanya, and was fun to work with. So it was just a good time. And again, comparatively to San Antonio, where we almost died, it was great.
What do you mean almost died? It's only 6,000 degrees.
Yeah, with 6,000% humidity. Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Nice.
So,
all right, Lance. Well, I appreciate you.
It was fun, and definitely looking forward to next year.
Yes, sir. All right, we'll see you soon, man.
Appreciate you, Lance.
Take care, guys.
See
Bye.
Oh man, for our next guest, can you just behave a little bit? You're out of hand. You're out of control, man. It's just
That's great. Is that better?
No, that's just your easy way out, man. You just always take that road, and you know, I want to see what happens behind the curtain. You know, when you get all fired up, just
what?
I don't know. Sometimes you just take that off. I don't know. Anyway, can you first off talk about our other sponsor who is sponsoring our next guest tonight?
Oh, we're going to talk about my guy Kev with Tacky Bar? Nothing better, man. If you're trying to get a football in shape, game ready to go, he's from top to bottom, NFL down to the local flag league, taking care of everybody with his Tacky Bar. He's got stuff to do ball prep, do all sorts of different things. He's got apparel. He's got everything. So if you need him, hit Tacky Bar up. I'm sure the link's in the bio with our link tree because Ant does all that, and he would definitely not leave him off of it. What? I knew it was there. But with that being said, this guy, he's a five-position player. He guarantees has got all of his footballs taken care of with Tacky Bar. Bring my man Devon in. With his camera facing the wrong way. Good grief.
Oh, come on, man.
Hey, man, don't give him a hard time, and I'll handle this. This first time on a podcast? What's up, man?
What's going on, y'all? How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, bro.
Doing well.
Oh, man. Are you able to turn your camera sideways? Oh.
If he didn't do it by now, he's obviously not going to do it.
Hold up.
See, now you got him off the camera.
I'm sorry.
Dude. You and all your rules. Ron, I'm sorry, bro. See, now he's sitting inside. Don't stress it, man. Ant looks for this is the literally the equipment check of the podcast. This is terrible.
Oh, I'm sorry. My fault. Right. Hey, what's good, man? You know, we know you've been begging to come on the show for a minute, and you know, posting, leaving comments, and you know, usually we don't just bring people on just because they ask, but man, I think it's your time to come on the show and tell us about this past weekend. So I just want to tell you what the critics are saying. They're saying that you're the Kevin Durant of flag football.
Before we start smack talking, since you're not obviously going to do it, Devon, do me a favor, man. Before we start with any new guest, we try to open the floor. Tell us your superhero origin story. Tell us about how you got started in flag, all the good stuff like that.
Okay. How I got started, so I was like super against flag, like having played like college football and all that. Like locally, like guys would always be like, come out and play flag. I was like, man, I'm not playing that. Like that's not for me. And then I would come out here and there. Like I would just come out just to get some cardio and some exercise. And then like some guys that I got close with were trying to get me to play nine man. And I was like, all right, I'll go play nine man.
The real football.
Yeah, the real flag football, according to my man, Deuce Dutch. So I actually started out playing nine man. The first time I really traveled was, what was it? Orlando 22, the year of like the brawl. Like, yeah. That was the first time I really like traveled to play flag. I was like, all right. And I played nine man, and I mean, just being real, I cook. And then after that, Mike D was in my DMs and was like, yo, like, you trying to come to Philly and play? Come play with Cole Red. Come play with Main Event. So after that, Worlds, Nationals, whatever it was, and that was right when COVID hit, I went to Philly for a tournament to play with Mike and Cole Red. And, I mean, the rest is just history from there, honestly. Then I started playing with Main Event for eights, and I would play five contact with BGB, that's local, the local team here, Lamar's old team, and I would play with Main Event for fives. So really, I was just started out as a contact guy, and then just started to migrate towards small ball or non-contact, I guess.
Yeah.
So when did the switch happen as far as VA Elite and all of that getting put together?
So, when I started, like I was close with Rock and Sam, but we didn't travel. Like I said, like the first time I traveled, I didn't play with them. I played Nine Man. And then it was actually one time, like during COVID, it was in 2020, but like October, we just put a 5 co-ed team in, was like, let's try it. You know, we literally just tried the style and we went to the tournament and won. And it was like, oh. And then we came down to Camel City, Jacob. That's when we met you and Krista, and we came down there and won. And we was like, all right, this could be like a thing, like that we'll start to do. And that's how 5 co-ed came about, honestly. Like, we just, because we, like, during COVID, like, we were always together, literally, like, every day. I was at Rock and Sam's house every day. And we were, like, super close. And, like, we didn't have a lot to do. We would go to the field and just work out and throw the football around. We were like, we should just start a team. And that was just, it was just all people, like, all local, like, our friends. And we just happened to be pretty good and won our first couple tournaments and was like, all right, we could actually might be able to do something with this.
Fair enough.
Yeah, no. Go ahead, Jacob.
I remember that first Camel City tournament you came down. You played with Judah in that tournament as well.
Yeah, I played contact with Judah, yep.
Now, were you just a hired hitman for that team then, or were you a regular with those guys?
Nah, so I like to stay low. Like, especially when I first started, I would always try to play with, like, a local team.
Sure.
Like, if, like, because that's just me. I'm just like, man, this, especially at that point, like, DMV, I feel like we ain't get a lot of love anyway. So I'm like, I know what we can do. So I'm going to play with the guys. So I actually met them playing 5 contact against them. And then when BGB, our team kind of like fell out, we stopped playing. So they were like, all right, just come play with us. So that was kind of how that happened.
I got you.
And you're not playing contact anymore just because of old age, or what's the deal?
Jeez, dude. Hey, man, just so you know, Ant's always got the gun out, man. He'll shoot your fire strategies.
Oh, I know. Nah, really, it was just like, it was just kind of like a transition, honestly, like to small ball, non-contact stuff, especially co-ed, just because, like, I'm just big on, like, just my people. And it was like with Main Event, like, they would pay for whatever, like, they could fly me, yeah, they would do whatever, but, like, for me, like I said, it's all about, like, loyalty and my people, and Rock and Sam knows my people, that's my family, like, and our team is just super close-knit, and I actually was like, I would pay my own way to play, like, go places, because, like, even when I would go to, like, tournaments with Main Event, like, yeah, it was cool, but, like, I would be in my room, like, by myself chilling, because, like, I'm not, like, I mean, believe it or not, I'm actually, like, a super introvert, unless it's, like, my people, and I just be to myself, and, like, those guys, like, yeah, we would see each other one tournament, but not the next, so I was never really, like, super close to anybody, so I was like, I'd rather just do stuff with my people, where it's, like, I'm actually going to be interacting with them while we out, and, like, at the Airbnb and stuff, like, go out to dinner, and, like, have, like, meaningful conversations and do things like that, so...
Absolutely.
For me, it was just like the transition of just like wanting to do something that was with my people rather than just doing it just because.
Right. Not a business decision.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense. I mean, I remember when I was playing Ace and going against Main Event, it would always be whoever the biggest stars in flag football, you know, they would be pulling anybody and flying them out. And, just it was hard to compete against Main Event, but you know, wherever they traveled, they really didn't care about the event.
Right. So.
Yeah. So so like I said, speaking of ETN, we got some feedback going on there.
Yeah.
Try to get rid of this. All right. I don't know. But anyway, speaking of ECN, what was the decision for you and Rock to play with ESA?
I mean, I'm very transparent. I just hit Trump. I looked at the team list and was like, we wanted to play because I told Rick, I was like, I'm not going out there just to play co-ed, like, in the middle of nowhere. Like, like we went to Fruitland one time ever, and it was years ago when we had the AFFL tournament, like, the original AFFL tournament. That's the only time we've been to Fruitland. I was like, yo, I'm not going out there to play co-ed for the whole weekend, and that'd be it. So I was like, we need to make a team or get on a team. And the obviously, like, the number one position that you need if you're going to make a team is a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And despite the fact that I hate playing quarterback. Like, I hate it with a passion. Like, I hate it. If I'm the quarterback, no, we're going to find a different team. So, and we were actually trying to put, like, a team of, like, local, like, DMV, but there were just some miscommunication. Just some things were just kind of miscommunicated. So I just hit Tronky and was like, yo, are y'all playing? They actually weren't going to play. And he was like, we signed up, but nobody's like actually done anything. We just signed up just in case because we go every year. And I was like, all right, well, I don't know what we're going to do, Rock. I'm not going to go, or I don't know what's going on. And then Tronky hit me back literally like the next day and was like, actually, we are going to go. He just put feelers out, asked the people who are going to play, and we're going to come up. And so that was kind of what it was. And because, like I said, like, it was miscommunication between, like, doing, like, the local DMV team. Like, because that would have been, I would have obviously done that. That would have been my first choice, for sure. But, like I said, with the miscommunication, things kind of fell through. So it was like, I want to go, so I just want to play. So
I just reached out. You guys had a pretty good squad, so.
I didn't know who was on the team, to be honest. Like I said, when I hit Tronky, no, there was no team. They weren't coming anymore. And then he was like, all right, let me just see if we can get some people to come. And it just happened, and it worked out. And we definitely had a solid team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think that Tronky had the option to throw to you, Rock, Pablo, or Rocket. And there's only one football.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, like, the perception may be different. Like, I joke a lot, but, like, I'm definitely not a selfish player. I actually played more defense than I did offense. Like, I mean, I played offense, obviously, too, but I didn't come off the field on defense except when I was tired and I was, like, asking for a sub. Offensively, if, like, people walked on, I was like, yo, go ahead, somebody get it. But defense, yeah. Like, and even as far as that, like, obviously, like, in my, like, me, I play receiver. I prefer receiver. But, like, even, like, that was another thing with the whole main event when I switched. Like, I was considered their lockdown DB. Like, that was the thing, like, that I was known as. But I'm like, nah, I want some offense. But, like, now, especially, like you said earlier, getting old, whoever, any way that I can contribute and help the team win, I'm cool with it. If I can play, if I can get two plays of offense a game, I'm good with that.
What do you say to people looking at what Supreme did a couple years ago at Worlds as, like, the beginning of the end of YTG? That you and Rock started the ball rolling where YTG wasn't invincible anymore. Do you agree with that?
I mean, to us, they were never invincible because the year before we lost to them by 1 point in double, triple overtime because we weren't going to win. So, I mean, to me, it's just like, again, not cockiness, but just confidence in our abilities. Like, anytime we line up out there, I expect to win. I don't care who on my team. Like, everybody always be saying, like, y'all got super teams, y'all do this. Like I always say, it can be me, Rock's kids, my son, and they friend. I expect to win. Like, anytime I'm playing, I expect us to have a chance to win. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, like I said, I think it's just more so like having that confidence. A lot of people do look at these dudes as like they are like monsters or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, I look at them the same. Like, you wake up, put your pants on one leg at a time, just like me. Like, for me, I'm never going back down from competition regardless. Like, and I'm going to be the person that's motivating my team, try and amp them up and get them confidence to have the same way. But for me, I don't care who it is. Like, if I play basketball against LeBron 1-on-1, I expect to win. And if I don't, I'm mad. That's just who I am. It's like my competitiveness for real. All
right.
So, speaking of that, as the DB in a scenario, who's the receiver that you want to line up against that's going to give you the best challenge but you know you're going to beat?
That I know I'm going to beat?
Yeah. Because you just said you're beating LeBron.
Well, I expect to. Like, I'm going to make it tough for whoever. But, like, for me, I mean, I think the people, I mean, obviously somebody like Rock that's, like, bigger than me, that can, like, box me out and, like, do the jump balls, like, that's going to be a tougher matchup. But I feel like just with my ability, my quickness, like, I mean, I can jump a little bit even though I ain't the biggest. But, like, I feel like I put myself in a position to be able to win. Now, if he gets to box me out. But I think the toughest, like, receiver for me, like, in a situation like that would be more of, like, a jump ball receiver, like a Rock, an Auto, or somebody like that. But as far as, like, just, like, receivers that are pretty hard to cover, like Duke is – his routes are crazy. Like, Pablo, obviously, fast. Like, Velt. Like, guys like that that are super shifty and stuff like that. Flash can run some routes. But – again, all these names I'm saying, I expect to win regardless. So yeah.
It's crazy he didn't say my name, but that's fine.
and of course, Jacob. Jacob,
no, nah, it's
Jacob
too late. It's too late now. It's fine. We'll talk to Rock about this later.
Man. So just to be clear, what you were born and raised in Virginia, or where'd you grow up?
I'm actually from D.C. Like, I mean, I just let people say, okay. But, like, I'm actually from D.C., like, and I always tell people, I ain't talking about Hollywood. I ain't from by the White House. So, like, and that's part of my mentality, too, like, just growing up how I did and stuff. Like, I'm in Virginia now. Like, I moved to Virginia my senior year of high school, and I haven't left. So, like, when I went to college, I always came back. I lived in Virginia and did all of that. So, it's not like. But just growing up, I'm from D.C., but I'm just in Virginia now. So when people say that, it's just, I go with it. Whatever it is, what it is, it don't matter.
Yeah. So what, I've never been to D.C., only been to Virginia driving through or going to tournaments and stuff. But what's the go-to food in the D.C. area?
Here we go.
You gotta go to a carryout. So ironically enough, like, I mean, now as I'm older and have been exposed to it, like, for y'all, when you say carry out, you're like, oh, you're going to go pick up some food like that you ordered and you're going to carry it out. So when I first came to Virginia and somebody was talking about getting carry out, I was like, oh, y'all got chicken and fries. They were like, huh? Nah, we about to get some pizza. So in D.C., a carry out is like an actual, like the name, it'd be like Good Hope carry out. So you got like fried chicken with mumbo sauce, ketchup, fries with like ketchup and mumbo sauce and all of that. That's a carry out, like on the corner somewhere, just a carry out. Like the little Chinese spot that got like chicken and fries, steak and cheese and all of that. So that's the carry out for us. And that's what you get when you're in D.C. Obviously, okay. A carry out or some seafood. Like you got the Wolf down there in D.C. and stuff, but the old Wolf, at least, the original joint that was, you really got seafood down there. Now it was all nice and fancy and everything else. But
yeah.
You got the carry okay. out and you got seafood.
Jacob, you know what you've been to a carryout before?
No, but it sounds like I need to. I mean, D.C.'s not that far of a trip for me.
I'm telling you, get some carryout. It'll change your life. Make sure you get that mumbo sauce on the chicken. Mumbo sauce and ketchup on the fries. It'll change your life.
Mumbo sauce. Got it.
Okay, cool. And as far as like I know people like to group the DMV together, but let's talk about DC, Virginia. Where do you put that, you know, that area, that state in like the top, you know, five of five football states?
Like the DMV as a whole?
Well, no, because that's three states. You can't really combine three states. That's right. Kind of unfair. That's like, but if we're just talking Virginia, where does Virginia rank? Do you think that there's, you know, are they in the top five, top 10? You know, where do they land? Oh, yeah, you muted yourself.
Oh, my bad. Virginia alone, no. Just being 100% honest, like, we have ballers, like, you mean, we have me, Rock, I guess Ahmad is not even Virginia anymore. He lives in Maryland. But, I mean, you have a few. Then you got, like Tank, who played with Main Event and stuff. But, like, you don't have a lot, for real, honestly. And, like, especially, like, local, like, FXA, like, Northern Virginia. Like, nah, you got, like, some mid, like, comp guys, rec guys, and stuff like that. Like, yeah, but nah, as a whole, nah, we definitely not top five. Like, if we are able to collectively add the DMV, oh, without a doubt. Like, we got hoopers across the DMV, but straight Virginia only, nah, we not top five. We might be lucky to be top 10.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's honest for sure. Speaking of, like, comp guys and everything like that, I noticed at ECN there were a few teams that seemed like maybe they shouldn't be playing in rec. They were playing in rec. How do you feel like that as a player that, you know, you put yourself up, you know, pretty high in the top tier of players. How do you feel about seeing pro players or pro teams play in rec division?
I mean, I don't agree with it, but, like, at the same time, I mean, how people want to spend their money and do what they do, that's theirs. Like, I'm not somebody that's just going to be like, oh, you shouldn't be playing. Like, I mean, because you might win. Like, if you win rec or something, you might have different players the next time. And so if you're not having the same exact team or – whatever, it might be something going on like that we just don't know about. So, like, I let people play wherever they at. Like, me personally, I'm not playing there. But whatever somebody else doing, that's not my business. They paying their money to play where they want to play. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, and again, it's like different people. Like, I'm going out there, like I said, I'm going to compete at whatever I'm doing. Some people out there just to have fun, and if that's what you out there do, just to have fun and win and say that you won in the rec division, more power to you. But I'd rather go out there and compete against the best than to go out there and be like, oh, I won against this trash. But that's just me.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And here on Cross Running, you know, we're all about officials. So I wanna ask you, as far as rules in flag football, is there a specific rule that just drives you crazy or you feel like always brings controversy on?
I mean, I've said this on some of your posts. I think the one thing for me that I hate is if you don't call a flag guard. Hold on, my bad. My dog is. If you don't call a flag guard because someone pulled the flag, like, I think that that's the worst thing, because it's like, all right, if you still throw the flag, now you losing yards from that spot and it's a loss of down rather than it just being going to the next down being like you pulled the flag. So if it's a flag guard, I think it should be called, regardless if you pull the flag or not.
Almost like my flag pulling's better than your flag guard.
Exactly. So don't be rewarded for that because you trashed that flag guard. Or I'm getting the flag. Like, go ahead
here
and use that down.
Here I am putting bullets in Devon's gun.
And take those yards off, too.
Yeah.
That's the one to me, like, I would say that's really, like, the only one that every time it happens, I'm just like, I don't care. The rest, like, is like, whatever. But that one, there's literally that one that I'm just like, nah, I don't like that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. No, that makes sense for sure. Final question for me. I don't know if Jacob has any questions for you, but I just want to know what your favorite midnight snack is.
Midnight snack?
Man, you stole my question.
I'm normally asleep by midnight for sure. But if I am at night, for real, probably just like some fruit snacks. Like, I normally just like keep like some candy in the pantry. Not good, but yeah, just some fruit snacks. Some golden Oreos. Golden Oreos probably number one, actually.
All right, so we're gonna scale back to the fruit snacks for just a second. Welch's or Welch's or Scooby snacks?
Oh, Scooby snacks for sure.
Oh man,
in college, me and my roommate, our pantry we didn't cook. Our pantry was filled with fruit snacks and Gushers, and it was Scooby snack. That's what it was. It was Scooby snacks.
Oh man.
Okay.
That's the way to do it.
Jacob, any other questions?
That's all I got, man. Just
nah, I got something, though. I got something about this KD, okay. These KD allegations.
Hey, man.
Oh.
It's crazy. It's crazy because Hey man, I heard you talk all about, you know, you got your guys, you got your crew, you got, you know, this is who I play with. And I was blown away to see ESS and y'all are wearing the jerseys. That looked a little KD to me.
Well, it can't really be KD. We've only played as Supreme, we've only played ESS two times.
Oh, okay.
And matter of fact, I beat Injured Reserve, which was ESS in April. So it wasn't really KD, like, because it's not like they beat us when it mattered and then I went and jumped ship. Like, nah, that's not the case. Like I said, for me, it was just about an opportunity to be able to play another format rather than going to Fruitland just to play co-ed and not have a men's team to play on.
So just to be clear from what I heard, you and Rock were paid by Tronky with all you can eat crab cakes for the weekend, and
hey man, no, I would not disclose anything. Nah. I plead the fifth.
Oh man, all right, that's a good job, man. That's a good job.
Devon, thank you for coming on, man. We really appreciate you having you on the show. That's what he's trying to say.
Now, I appreciate y'all having me, even though I had to ask and beg to be put on the show. It's cool. Like, it's all good, I know. But hey, I'm glad. Hey, as long, hey, Rock the Mayor Flag Football, though. Me, I'm low key. I be chilling. He going around doing all the stuff, so I get it.
I mean, hey, man, at this point, I'm tired of Rock. I mean, I might be.
Hey, man, you're here every other week.
I know, man. We had to do the newlywed game with him and his wife. Yeah, but I think at this point, from this point on, we're going to have his wife on. We don't need him anymore.
Hey, yeah, she's our agent. So, hey, anything that you need, go through her anyway.
Yeah, I gotta talk to her about what exactly, you know, what Tronky gave for both of you guys to play for ESS. That's wild.
Crab cakes. He's in the comments right now on IG talking about it. He gave crab cakes.
Is this something we're gonna see in the future? You guys playing with ESS, or this is a one off?
I guess we'll see. Y'all gonna have to stay tuned.
Yeah. Yes, sir. What's the next big tournament you guys are going to be playing at?
Ass Rock. hey, that's Batman. I'm Robin. When he say we got to go somewhere, I'm like, hey, just let me know when and where. That's it.
Yes, sir. Cool. All right, man. Well, I appreciate you joining us tonight, and I appreciate you begging to get on the show. And it was a good time, man. I appreciate you.
Now, I appreciate y'all having me for sure.
Absolutely. Yes, we'll see you, man.
All right, man. Y'all be good.
Hey, man, I'm just trying to get to the bottom of, you know, how this ESS super team got created. I mean,
it's simple. It's crab cakes.
Yeah, that was it.
Crab cakes in Salisbury.
I will tell you this, man. I know you hate talking about this subject because it just continues to come up, but I couldn't find crab cakes on the one night that we went out to the Ocean City Boardwalk. There wasn't really a lot of options, so I ended up getting a cheesesteak.
Okay.
And I will say that cheesesteak was better than the cheesesteak in Philadelphia.
Okay? Well, that wasn't difficult to top.
So, I just want us to continue to hold Ed accountable for the fact that he talked up this big game and all this stuff, man.
He's never going to invite us back.
Bro, how many different states am I going to find a cheesesteak better than the one place that he took us to?
Well, you only have 49, so unless unless we take Canada, and then that's 50, because then it would be 51. So, I mean, like, you got options.
Did you say unless we take Canada? Are we invading Canada?
I don't know.
Oh man, do you think I feel like Greenland could cook up a real nice cheesesteak, man?
I mean, probably.
Yeah. Hey, so go ahead. I gotta hear it.
Go ahead.
I was trying to bring it on.
No, it's good. Let's go. It's gotta happen fluidly. It can't be forced.
I know. I thought I created an opportunity.
It was an okay one, but not great. Anyways.
Oh, whatever, man. You're just anyway, man, your perspective of ECN, let me hear it, man. How was it for you?
No, it was a lot of fun. It was a great tournament. A lot like Lance said, you know, the weather did great. You know, it held out just long enough for us to be able to play because we were worried that it was going to rain. So really thankful for that. You don't have a great tournament without great officials, and we had a really damn good crew that made this weekend pretty seamless. So I'm really thankful for that. I'm really thankful that everybody you know had their A game on the whole time and locked in and got what we needed done. I'm really appreciative because it's just you bring guys from Ohio, from the DMV, from the Carolinas. I'm trying to think where else we had officials from. Pennsylvania, you know, we had quite a few from there. And everybody worked together really well. So I'm very thankful for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I will get on my soapbox for a second, just as far as from my perspective as a part-time, I'm just a part-timer, no big deal. I was when I was officiating, I did five rec, I did co-ed rec, and then did women's aired out. Those were the three formats I officiated. I will say this as far as just how people spoke to officials, I think across the board, there was a lot of disrespect towards officials. And I think they got awarded a lot of penalty flags because of it. So that was different in comparison to, hey, I think I give Dallas and Texas a hard time a lot. San Antonio wasn't too big, too many unsportsmanlikes. It wasn't that big of a deal as far as disrespect toward officials, but coming to East Coast Nationals, it was like across the board, like every game we were like dishing out two or three unsportsmanlikes, and it was very much centered around how they were speaking to me and, you know, other people in the crew. So that's kind of my soapbox as far as like, hey, let's just remember that officials are human beings. It's not about us being in our feelings. That's like the immediate, you know, line that gets thrown out. Oh, that ref's in his feelings now. You know, it's not about that. It's about the fact that we are still human beings. We still do deserve to be treated with respect. And ultimately, hate to say it, but these tournaments don't happen without officials. So, you know, you want us to be there. I don't know what brings it on. But it's a small field. 15 yards is a big penalty. So.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But other than that, you didn't have any big challenges that you like were, anything that you had to go back to the drawing board about or anything
Not really. Not really. You know, yeah. I think, like I said, it was pretty seamless, pretty straightforward.
Yeah. So, yeah. Again, I think also, go ahead.
I was going to say just shout out to, you know, Mike and Craig, Krista and Booth, you know, the five of us, we held it, you know, Natalie, you know, we all held it down and, just got it done.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Do you, I know that this was a tournament that had, still Eight's Legacy is now it's being called. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's just the DMV area that's kind of keeping Eight's Legacy going? How do you feel about it?
You have Eight Contact in the DMV. You've got it in Chicago. You've got it in Ohio. There's definitely pockets of it still around. North Carolina still has a few teams that play here and there. But yeah, they're still fighting to keep it going. And I think it'll still be around forever. It'll never completely die off. Yeah.
I mean, you always got the big guys that, you know, they want to be involved and, you know, and I think just, in general, I think there's, you know, the guys that look at when they leave their career of football, whatever that looks like, whether it's high school or college or anything like that, ultimately eighth contact is always going to be the, you know, the easier transition. Nines, eighth contact,
sure.
matches up with tackles.
Yep. Even sevens, so, you know, to an extent.
Yeah. Especially I would say that like the new, you know, generations younger than us, so many of them have grown up now doing passing leagues, spring ball, stuff like that, that like seven screen, you know, kind of matches up with that. So.
Yeah.
So speaking of seven screen though, we got, I don't know if we got called out. I don't know if we got challenged.
Got asked.
I don't know if we're in a podcast battle now. Like, I don't know.
Quit being so negative, dude. Somebody values our opinion, and they ask.
Oh, okay.
Quit being so.
You know what I get out of your feelings.
Think,
you know what I think is so cool about this little video? Shout out to Where's the Flag podcast. Their new podcast out of Utah. They put the logo so in their little clip. So I love seeing Jordan's angry face in another podcast.
He's smiling.
No, he's totally yelling. He's like, ugh.
Feelings. You and your feelings. Get out of your feelings, dude. Anyways.
Yeah, so let's talk about this. It's really important that we kind of get some feedback. They were talking about this. Now, this was the NAIA championship game. Hold on. Oh, my gosh.
Whoa. The sun will come out.
Oh, wow. So, okay, so the NAIA championship game, we had Ottawa, we had Kaiser. You know, you and me definitely were talking about this game, you know, discussing clips when it happened. There was a lot of conversation about, in the semis, I think there was a catch that was like, you know, it was called out of bounds. Ultimately, I want to preface this conversation first and foremost saying any camera angle is not the angle of the officials on the field.
Yeah.
So to be clear, whenever you see a camera angle, just realize that that is already taking it out of what happened at the moment of the play. So you're providing a perspective that was not given when the play happened, first and foremost. So, talking about this specific play in the championship, essentially, you know, it's a short pass. They're probably, I don't know, maybe on the 20-yard line or something like that. Wide receiver from Kaiser is running. Two defenders seem to kind of get their spot. That's maybe questionable. But before anything happens, there's another Ottawa player that comes in.
All right, well, his camera just cut, so I don't know what happened. As he's talking about it, there was an Ottawa player that pulled a flag. The runner tried to split the gap. And go ahead and interrupt me. That's fine. I was in the middle of explaining what happened. But go ahead. You can keep going.
Oh, I went away.
Pop in and out whenever you want. Go ahead.
I went. Did you see me go away?
Yeah, it was just me on camera there for a second.
Oh, okay. Okay, sorry.
You okay?
I don't know what happened.
We'll talk about this after the show.
Yeah, sure. So, okay, so go ahead. Explain the play and what happened from your perspective.
All right, so it'd be great if we could show it. So runner has the ball. She's running. She's about 10, 5 yards from the goal line. She tries to advance. You got two defenders, like you said. I think they got their place. I was fine with where they were. They got to their place, waiting to pull the flag. Right before the runner tries to split the defenders, another defender comes in from behind and pulls the flag. The runner then, as her flag's pulled, tries to jump in between the defenders. A lot of contact. Runner goes to the ground. There was no penalty called on the play. Now, the argument is, should there have been a foul? And the concern from the players was, when is enough contact going to be warranted to start calling penalties, or is somebody going to get hurt?
Yeah.
That's the perspective I took away from it, that they were – what they were looking for, what kind of response they were trying to ask for.
Yeah, and so, you know, I'm not – I will say, self-admittedly, I am not completely familiar with the NAIA rulebook to know exactly the wording, but I do know where it kind of lands as far as, you know, as far as rulebooks in flag football. This is seven screens, so, you know, the screen aspect of it adds a little bit of, like, gray areas there. But downfield stuff, contact should look, you know, very similar to, you know, fives and other things like that. To be very clear, though, this is not the IFAP rulebook. So if we look at, you know, if we look at the big spectrum of flag football, if we're talking about nines, contact is the, you know, most egregious contact there is. And we've got IFAP, that is the least amount of contact allowed. You know, fives, sevens, all of those are going to, you know, they'll probably fall somewhere in the middle, maybe, you know, farther over, closer to IFAP kind of. So in IFAF, that might have actually gotten a penalty flag because they let a play completely finish as far as contact happening. Sure. So and also jumping is not legal in IFAF. So there would have probably been one or two flags from that on the offense for jumping and going into the player. That from both of our perspectives, that defender was set.
Yep.
Was attempting to pull the flag. So even though the flag was pulled in IFAF, there might have been a penalty for, you know, illegal contact on the offense for jumping. But from my perspective, as far as NAIA goes, as far as seven screen goes, once the flag was pulled, there's no penalty to talk about.
Yep.
So I I'm not sure if there's even, I don't think there's any way that you can really have an argument to say that the defenders were causing contact, because I just don't see that.
No, the more I look at the play, I watched it probably five or six times. See, initially I didn't realize that the runner got her flag pulled.
Yeah,
and you know, Mr. Ninja Eyes over here is the one who pointed it out to me. And as soon as you said that, I went, "Oh yeah, well that makes perfect sense." But I do agree with the fact that if a player's completing a run or if they're completing a process, that they should be penalized all the way through that process. So looking at how that runner was advancing and her goal was to split the defenders, and she definitely went and made a lot of contact with both of those. I got offensive contact, and I'd probably call it even though the flag was pulled. Because, I mean, to the ladies' points that on Where's the Flag podcast, somebody's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
You know, if let's say that flag didn't get pulled, you know, what do we got? Is there a foul? You know?
Yeah. So, no, absolutely. And I mean, I do think it's funny because when I first saw that play, the uproar, which I think that like a lot of people on social media want Ottawa to be, they want them to be officiated differently than they're currently being officiated. Sometimes teams are just amazing. It's something that I've always looked at as far as like you know, when you've got an experienced team, and don't get me wrong, not to say Kaiser is inexperienced, but I'm speaking in general. You have one experienced team and an inexperienced team. The inexperienced team is going to get more penalty flags.
Absolutely.
And it's not because the officials are like, oh, we want this team to win. Oh, we know this team. No, it's because the experienced team understands the game better. And so they know
without issues.
Exactly. And yeah. And so I think that, you know, Ottawa now has won 5 championships. Their program has been built up longer. Sure. They've been around longer. So some of these other colleges that are now getting into NAIA, building up their, you know, their programs, they don't have as much experience. And so they are going to encounter situations where it's going to look like, oh, the officials are, you know, giving them the calls and this and that. No, Ottawa's just executing it better. So in this scenario, those defenders did exactly what they were supposed to do. And so I don't think that it was a situation where, you know, because social media wanted that. They wanted a penalty on the defender that was set, saying basically, you know, she caused this girl that was jumping to get, you know, to get hurt. You know, even though we want to get away from when a player is dipping or jumping, that, you know, they can get completely taken out. We don't, you know, we don't want those things happening. But when you jump, you are putting yourself at a greater risk.
Sure. So, and I do understand that. Like when you complete those actions, you are putting yourself at risk. But on the flips, like you're also opening yourself up to a foul that can happen, that can be on you more so than on another player. Because in my mind, I still look at that. Both defenders are set. They're waiting for her. You know, they're doing the right thing. They're doing everything that they're taught correctly. The runner comes in and tries to, I mean, it's cut and dry for me. As far as that play goes.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I definitely, I hear what you're saying as far as in that scenario, it probably makes a lot of sense to actually just to call an illegal contact on the offense as well. Because it happens so quick. The only reason I was able to throw, you know, to see that the flag was pulled was in watching it multiple times. And again, we are provided different camera angles that the official was not provided. So maybe from her perspective, she saw that flag get pulled and, you know, right. You know, she's like incomplete. They're short. It was on a conversion that play was. So, yeah. So, hey, no, you know, try's no good. We're moving forward. Also pace of play and things like that moving in, because an illegal contact on the offense in that isn't going to change, you know, the result of the play.
Right.
So, you know, so that might have been part of it as well, in not throwing a flag.
Sure. And I mean, like, you know, at that collegiate level, you know, things are much higher. You know, we're just a couple of rec refs anyway. So, I mean, I'm sure there was a better explanation that we wouldn't get. We wouldn't understand that at our level. Anyways.
So hopefully, where's the flag? I apologize. For some reason I cut out mid-explanation. But hopefully, you know, we can piece together some clips for you guys to help explain that. We are here for not only your podcast, but any podcast out there that want a better explanation. This is what we do. Me and Jacob are nerds about this kind of thing. We talk about rules probably every single day. I know I'm constantly bugging Jacob about different rules and explanations. And sometimes I forget things and I'm like, well, what about this? And, you know, wouldn't this make sense? That's what we're here for. We love to talk about that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I will try really hard. We don't have a producer or anything, but I will try really hard to get media together with the clip and us talking and
We are the
Predators. That works.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
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 See?
Yeah. We did have LDL on the show tonight, huh?
Huh?
We did have LDL on the show tonight.
Yeah, good old cool. LDL on the show.
So, that being said, man, ECM was great. It was a great opportunity. I was able to bring, my three kids, and it was fun to again see Keturah just in different situations. She was officiating with Spence. She officiated with Lance and TJ. And so, she's continuing to grow as an official, and I'm excited to see that. And then I had the opportunity to work with Justin, who I haven't worked with before. He did a great job. So shout out to Justin. It's so important on a two-man crew to be able to just, you say, I know they're locked in, I'm locked in, and we're going to manage the field best as we can. Of course, there's blind spots. You know, anytime a player is like, why aren't you seeing the hooks in the middle of the field? Well, because that neither one of us can see that. I mean, it's just going to happen.
Our eyes can't do this.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking at the quarterback. My eye cannot go over here, even if we try. And then, with women's aired out, we had the all-star crew. I was with Smokey Joe and Robert Baker, and man, North Carolina, y'all are top tier as far as officials, and they killed it. I did have some fun with Joe because I challenged both of them that, hey, if I see an illegal equipment and it was a player that was in either one of your guys' zones, then you guys owe 10 pushups. And definitely somebody was paying up on pushups. So
dang, savage.
Yeah.
Savage.
Yeah. So hey man, you gotta make it fun, right? Gotta add a little bit, and it's a good way to just keep your eyes on those things. But I will say in general, I do think that the tide is kind of finally turning as far as equipment issues is going. I think we've as a crew, the entire crew with officials, we've been hammering players, and I think they're finally figuring out that they have to wear flags.
Wait till the draft tournament.
just
wait till the draft tournament. None of them are right.
That's fine. I'll just watch all the other refs do pushups all day. That's cool with me.
Oh, jeez. Savage.
Oh, man. But anyway, what a great show we had tonight. Yeah, I appreciate you, Devon and Lance, coming on. I don't know if we've been live on Instagram and Facebook.
We have.
Oh, okay, cool.
I've been keeping up on IG. That's the important one. I haven't looked at YouTube. I haven't looked at Facebook. But we've been live on IG. So appreciate everybody who's been in the comments talking. Appreciate all the all the kind words and everything like that. But yeah, we've been people have been watching.
Okay, cool. Well, that's good to hear. Yeah, at least I figured something out.
A year and a half, we figured it out.
68 episodes later, we're.
Wait, are we at 68 now?
I think this is episode 17, and I think didn't we end season one at 50?
Did we?
So
I can't remember.
I think so, something like that, or maybe we started season two at 50. I don't know. So I think we are in the 66, 67 range, something like that. So
do you think?
Yeah, go on.
Do you think? You think we could be at 10,000 followers by our 100th episode?
This past month we almost got 400 new followers. So if we stay at that rate, what is that? 1,000 every couple months, and we're at 4,200 right now.
We're only at 4,200. How do we get 400 and we're only at 4,200? Huh? We just did a thing at 4,000.
Yeah, and that was like That was like middle of the month that we did that. The last 30 days, I mean. Sorry, huh. not like the month of June. The last 30 days.
Huh.
So,
okay.
It's, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Oh.
If we get
anyways.
I just, yeah, anyways. Yeah, I'm. I don't know, Tim. That because we gotta get 5,500 divided by what is that? I think that's a little bit of time. Still, we gotta kick up our followers.
If we get the 10,000 followers on IG by the time we hit 100 episodes, I think our 100th episode we should do something big.
I mean, I agree completely.
I think we should do something big. I don't know what it is yet, but I think we should do something big.
Can we get Donald Trump on the show? Is that possible?
Listen, okay. I will personally make an appearance. I'll tell you what. This is what we'll do. If we're at 10,000 followers by our 100th episode, I will do the 100th episode dressed. I'll do the orange. I'll get the full Donald Trump suit and do the whole episode as Donald Trump.
Oh man, this is a challenge.
Huge.
This is crazy. We have to make this happen. So everyone listen up.
That's what we'll do.
Hit that follow button, hit that share button. Let's make that happen. We gotta see Jacob dressed up in the full orange. Are we talking like
dude, I will get like I will make my face and my hands orange for this. I will be like the truest tomato man for this.
Oh, that's amazing.
Tomato, orange man. Hey, not tomato. Steve, tomatoes are red.
Steve Tambo from Tambo Time said just do it next week. Speaking of that, next week we're going to be on another podcast, Tambo Time out of Where are they out of? New England? I'm not good with geography.
They're out of Boston. I think New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. Part of New England, though, right?
Yep.
Isn't that part of New England? Yeah. So we're going to be on that show next Tuesday. What's up?
Nothing.
Okay. Nothing. Hey, man, I drove through three different states this past weekend, and it's crazy to me. Did you realize how long Maryland is?
Yeah.
It's just okay. Well, I never realized that. Sorry.
Okay, well, it's okay.
I'm not an expert, okay? But anyway,
state.
Yeah, it is an island shaped state. Bro, can we talk about the fact that we're now on Shopify? That's new.
Yeah, we're on Shopify. Be sweet if we weren't under construction, but we are. Hey, so we're getting there.
Wait, are we under construction? Does it say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you were so cool for a second. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to pop your balloon. I'm sorry,
it's fine. I didn't because you know I set things up and then I can't see a lot of those things because I'm on the like what is it called? I'm in the back. I don't want to say back door because that's.
Hey yo! Don't do it in the back door, man.
Backstage, I don't. What are you? There's like something.
You're doing the admin stuff. You don't see the actual final product. Yeah, it's still under construction.
Okay.
Hey, yeah. So make sure you guys check us out on Shopify. Check us out. Check our link tree out. We're gonna have all of our merch on there. Everything's looking really good. We got a couple new things that are gonna come out here soon. We still got the regular stuff. Do me a favor though. If you have our merch, get some pictures in it. Tag us in the pictures with you wearing our merch. If you're wearing our ref gear while you're working, take a pic. If you got a super dope sticker that come with pretty much every order, put a picture of it. If you got one of these dope hoodies with Jordan's ugly mug on it, put it in the picture. If your computer background, like on my secondary computer, is of Jordan, it's a little blurry because I got the blurry setting on. Get a picture of it. Do what you can. Like get pictures of stuff. Tag us in them. We love them. We love to see it. We love to see the support. You know, we got the shirts, we got the hoodies, we got the joggers. TJ's was our patient zero with the joggers, said he loved them. Super comfortable. Just check all that stuff out. We got all sorts of stuff, man.
Yeah, I'm excited about the shorts. And they're going to have zipper pockets for players that want to rock clocks running on the field. We got some cool, just like one off. We got a men's mental health shirt for the month of June. We got that. We got some, kind of spin off of, brand logos that we are doing some, goofy stuff of. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you this, the ref gear is nice. I like the fit of it. It's not too heavy or anything like that. It's got the zipper. We got backpacks. We're just trying some new stuff. But if the Shopify remains under construction for a bit, just DM the Instagram. We will make it happen. We got, Jacob, set up this crazy thing. I think it's called Excel spreadsheet. Is that what it is?
Anyway, just hit us up. We'll get your stuff ordered. I think we're getting ready to put another order in this week. We'll get you taken care of. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, man, I guess we'll be in New Hampshire next Tuesday. So I'll see you there. And then next weekend we're headed to Dolly World.
Yeah, we're headed to Gatlinburg.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, so next weekend we'll be in Gatlinburg. We're going to be working the Smoky Mountain Gauntlet. That's going to be fun with Rocky Top Sports World. It's going to be their first time having a tournament. It's going to be a youth tournament. It's going to be great. I'm pretty excited. These guys are really excited. They got a good group. Then they got a good amount of teams. So it should be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, cool, man. As always, Jacob, I appreciate you for all that you do for this show, and we'll see you soon.
Sounds good. I'll see you later, brother.